Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We'll talk about in our study of man about equality. Hot button topic. I'm convinced that everything the Bible says about equality, the answer to the friction that is going on in our world today, answered in the Bible, that the world is not in the least bit interested in any of this. The world does not want what the Bible proclaims as the will of God. And when God teaches about some hot button topic, such as equality, racism, homosexuality, transphobia kinds of things, as they're called, they're not going to want to hear the answers to these things. But we know, and it's our responsibility to proclaim the word of God. So that is what we do, and that's what we believe. So Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Let's pray. Lord, you really are good for us. You're good for us in telling us how things are from a heavenly standpoint. And we follow that and it's good. And we don't and it's bad. But that's too simple for our world. We are, because of sin and blindness and death, foolishness, ignorance, and rebellion. So we know, Lord, that that must be broken. But as we see in your word, we have encouragement who are your people to see what we're to be and how we're to think and do. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible's an old book, but being the kind of book the Bible is, the Word of God, we expect it to apply even to modern times. It's an old book, but it's still relevant. It's not like old computer books. I've got computer books, operating systems, old computers. They don't even function anymore. The information of some generation or two ago will be too old. And I know the world likes to think of the Bible that way, but the Bible is the kind of book from God that is steady and firm and doesn't change. Our world expects constant updates. You have a phone. Your phone is constantly updating an app. If your app has not been updated, some of them, in the last week, you're wondering what is wrong. And people are in the mindset where we are constantly having an updated standard of behavior and law. And the way we decide what to do is based on some new standard. You know, not long ago, it's not really been that long, people knew that there were two genders. They knew where to go to the bathroom, depending on what you were. They knew all these things. They knew if someone said one day that they were General Ulysses S. Grant, that something was wrong with them. But not now. And that's how rapidly things change. An absolute standard like the Bible is rejected by people who are trying to be modern and the new stuff. And we're in such a mess because of it. Remember when you tried to tell your parents that they were out of touch with the modern world? All the kids are being allowed to do this, Mom, Dad. How'd that fly? The standard is the standard. From God, it does not change. The world has parked its car on a hill and left the brake off. And it has gone careening down through the trees. And what's the solution the world offers for that problem? Clear out the trees instead of apply the brake. Completely backwards. The reason for chaos in the world is the refusal to tether our standards to God. On the playground in elementary school, if you wanted chaos, just have the teacher go off somewhere and don't watch and don't give any commands and don't control the situation. It goes crazy. And so it is with our age. God is still the same. And once he puts down a standard, a foundation for us to build on, we're to build on it. When this church was erected, this building, was this long slab here was just put right down. There was no discussion. Men got together. I don't know anything about building. But I had an idea that 40 by 100 foot slab, that's what we were supposed to build on. I didn't see the men out there saying, well, maybe we should put it over there. The foundation is where it went. That's where it was supposed to go. That's what it was made for, and that's what God has given us in the Bible. But the world does not build on a rock. It builds on sand. So every little bit, it has to be rebuilt because it decays. It erodes. It falls down. Every election we have is about change. Every 2 years, every 4 years, every 5 months, every 6 weeks, we need change. Well, because you're not standing on anything solid. If you go to the beach and you set your little sand castle there near the water and you build a little sand castle, after a while it's going to have to be moved because the waves are going to come in and knock it down. God keeps us from being tossed about by every new thing. That's not just for the church. But if a person will anchor themselves into the Lord, we will not be knocked around. When I went up on the space shuttle several years ago, they strap you in. And because of the G-forces and the rockets blasting, and you girls believe every word I'm saying, don't you, about going up on the space shuttle? And because you've got to be anchored in there firmly or you'll fly around in the cabin. So God has anchored us in this world in a firm foundation that remains the same. While the world is in a whirlwind of chaotic change, constant deception, because of all the ways the world is unable to stand on one thing. And really, what is the standard today in 10 years will be different. I hope it will be better. I fear it will be worse. But it will not be the same. The Bible speaks on all the hot topics, including equality. At one time, equality was mutually sought by people in the world who saw inequality. They saw things not being equal. They saw racial inequality or inequality in pay or whatever it was. And they wanted equality. And in some cases, the world actually at one time was seeking that which was consistent with what God teaches about equality. But equality is no longer the world's desire. Equity is. Equality has been replaced by equity. Equity means inequality, but on the other side. Some people have had it too good for a while. They get it to be bad. They get to be bad for a while, and the other side gets to be good. So that's equity. Equality would be a different thing. But equality is something God speaks of as being a good thing in the way he defines it. And so if we don't want to be in a mess, we would listen to that. But I guess, We probably do. I still remember that a lady that we met on the interstate, I think coming back from a golf match in around Asheville, North Carolina, way back in high school days. And her eyes were like saucers because she was on the wrong side of the interstate. And she was coming toward all the other cars, and we were going toward her. And that's how our world is. Why? Because they're on the wrong side of the road. Now, the Galatians are an object lesson for us, a church that shows us what happens when you leave the standard of God. And what the Galatians did, and Paul mentions it right away in Galatians chapter 1, is that they left the gospel. Galatians 1 verse 6 says, "I am amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Now, if they would have followed the Lord, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Lord says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of the knowledge of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. And notice what the characteristic is of children. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. So, because the Galatians did not stick to, and their leaders are given to them for this purpose, to make you stick to God's word, and if you don't, you're tossed about. You're thrown about by the waves. You're deceived by people coming in. So people came in, as it says in Galatians 1:6, they were deceived into another gospel. And when you're deceived and you're no longer stable, then you're looking for somewhere to land. And they thought they would land in the way that was being taught to them. They would land on the law. They would land on the rituals of Judaism. They needed to be circumcised. They needed to get back and kind of do a halfway. Not leave Judaism all the way, and not go to Christianity all the way. Just kind of hang in the middle. This is what they were deceived into doing. And so the Galatians had forsaken the gospel. They were grounded in grace, but they started to be legalistic. And they were called back by these who had been in Judaism so long. You know, Judaism is the will of God, they were told. You got to follow that too. You can't just go off to something else. If you get a Southern Baptist church, if a Southern Baptist church starts doing things different than maybe they did way, way, way back, there are amoral issues, not moral issues, but amoral issues. Some old Southern Baptist come and say, "Well, we got to do this too. We got to do this. We got to mix it all in." Well, this is what the Jews told the Galatians. You can't just forsake Judaism for Christ. You got to hold on to some of it. So you got to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to be Jewish. So they went from stable to unstable. They went from content to discontent. They went from peace to unrest. Because others don't like that, they had freedom in Christ. They were doing these rituals. You have to do them. For them to stop the rituals and go to Christ fully, oh no, they didn't think about that. The world seems to especially hate people who haven't arrived on a good spot when they haven't. Well, they don't want to be on the same spot. They want you to go back to the spot that they're on. And this is what happened with the Galatians. And they want to make them conform to them rather than them conform to you. This is what a lot of the society today is. We're being taught to cope with what is wrong rather than fixing what is wrong. So in that context, he speaks to them about equality because they were thinking about being Jews and they were Gentiles. Now, human equality is being equal. It seems obvious. But human equality refers to humans being equal in the sight of God as humans. That a human being is the same as any other human being. That really, it's not believed anymore, but it's a good statement that Martin Luther King Jr. said, actually, that we should not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of their character. Now, he didn't say everything right, but that's right. That is a biblical truth. That God does not care about any of that stuff. We're all made in the image of God. We are all judged by the same law. We are all responsible to seek God. We are all targets for the gospel ministry. We're all the same. And God does not show partiality on the human level. Romans chapter 2. Paul's talking about judgment. Starting at verse 9, he says, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. We see there's no preference, although the Jews had many, many privileges above the Greeks. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. God shows no partiality. God doesn't look and say, that person right there, that's a green man. Green men can't please me because they're green. God never says that. There's no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. As a human being, God has made every person equal. There's no one more in the image of God than any other person. God sees everyone not by the outer, but by the heart, without partiality. He doesn't judge based on privilege or a lack of privilege. Suppose, and this will never happen, but suppose a politician did something wrong, but because he's in power, he didn't get judged for it. But you did the same thing, and you got thrown in prison for 20 years. Is that impartial? No, that's favoritism. God doesn't do that. In the eyes of the Lord, if a politician robs a bank and you rob a bank, it's the same. And the judgment will be the same. The condemnation will be the same. Because God sees all people as equal. God only cares that his law is kept, Romans 2:13 says. And that was a lesson in Acts chapter 10. That was a lesson that Peter said he saw when God called him to go to the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles were very odious to the Jews. Jews would not have any association with Gentiles. They would tolerate Samaritans some. They were half and half. But Gentiles, worst of the worst. And here Peter is, a Jew, being called by God to go to Cornelius and preach the gospel to Gentiles. When he did that, Peter said, Acts 10:34, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but But every nation, in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. That is equality. God makes no preference for the Jews. It's not just for the Jews. It's for every nation that fears him and does what is right. That has always been the aim of God. Picking Israel was the vehicle to reach the entire world. So as far as humanity goes, God has no preference for color, gender, nationality, or baldness. He does not care. You can be tall or short. You can be rippling with muscles like the men in this room. Or it's a hard thing. All that is inconsequential. That is equality. God values, as a creation of God made in his image, the same all around. People all over the world. Red, yellow, black, white, purple, green, orange, and gray. It just doesn't, to the Lord, that's equality. That is the starting point of human equality. Now, there is also, secondly, something that is called spiritual equality. And that is that when all these different kinds of people who are equal in the sight of God are saved, then all of the saved are equally saved. I'm your pastor. I'm not more saved than you are. I don't have, other than walking on water a couple of times a day, I don't have to do anything special. Yeah, I might go to the hospital every now and then and raise up a few people from the sick bed, but we're pretty much all the same. In Christ, we're saved the same. That's where the Galatians stumbled. When they were saved, they thought they were not high enough and equal to the Jews who were saying they had more righteousness because they do more things. They were made to feel inadequate by the legalistic Jews. And that is a very important point, really, that we need to understand about today. People get triggered. You always hear the word trigger. Somebody's triggered. And when people get triggered, it means they start thinking something that's not quite right. And you can get triggered and pull yourself back. It's not a death sentence. But when the Galatians were told by the Jews that you need to be more Jewish, you need to get circumcised, you need to go back to some of the things you've left, that's a trigger point. They could say, we're not going to do that. They would have diffused the trigger. People don't diffuse triggers these days as much. People get triggered in colleges. They get triggered in businesses. They get triggered on the street. They get triggered in normal conversation. You can't even talk to some people because they're triggering all the time. And when they get triggered, they have a choice to make as to whether that trigger is of God or whether it's something they have thought up themselves and become offended that they should not be offended about. And what most people do is they get triggered and then they follow the path. And the path leads to all sorts of wild things. And we've lived in them and we're living in them now. And if they would just get a grip. Don't you wish some people would just, when they get triggered, they would go and they would look in the mirror and they would just grab their hands and just grab their heads and say, get a grip. Instead of... I've not seen a list. It'd be hard to make a list of how many things trigger people today that we're supposed to chase down. That time I got triggered, I was thinking, I'm going to be a figure skater. And I just thought about that for about 1 second. And I de-triggered that. And you know, I never was. You know, Barney 5, what does he say? Nip it in the bud. But people don't do that. They suddenly get a sense of power. You mean, if this bothers me, I can have the whole world revolve around me and cater to me? It's a power trip. Well, the Galatians fell into that. They were triggered to depart from the gospel. They were offended by, you know, the Gentiles were offended, or the Jews were offended that Gentiles could have a standing with God, just being free, freedom, without the works of the law. Galatians 3, verse 28 tells us that all in Christ are equal. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. If you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, are there Jews and Greeks? Yes. Are there slaves and free men? Yes. Are there male and female? Sure. But in Christ, it doesn't make a difference. There's no distinction. You're not a higher Christian by being any of these things. You go with what God has given us here. He's given us everything in Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. We have everything all together. And he even says in verse 29 that if we're in Christ, now this is especially to the Galatians who are trying to be Jewish, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants. According to the promise. You want to be a descendant of Abraham? Well, you are by faith. Not by going back to that. So you see, it's a great thing. You could save a lot of time and heartache. You just, when you're tempted to be triggered and led away, that you stand firm. And not be moved from your position. It tells us really that the biblical truth that we have everything in Christ. We have everything in Christ. We have equal standing in Christ. We all know God. We can approach Him all together boldly in Christ. There are two aspects of equality here then. True equality from God is equality in humanity. Just by being a human, you're equal with all other humans. And by being saved, you're equal with all others who are saved. There is no pecking order. There is no caste system in salvation. Now, having said that, I also want to finally address the fact that equality must stay within the biblical bounds. Because equality does not mean... that everybody is the same. And a lot of things that really shouldn't be problems are problems today because people don't understand that equality is not equal to being the same. God makes inequality. God is equal looking at humans. God sees Christians the same. But God does not make everybody the same. I'm going to say this, it'll shock you. Males and females are radically different from one another. But they're equal in the sight of God. I want to say males and females are radically different, from one another. God makes... we are different. People look different. People are from different places. They have different origins. They have different habitations. There are some places people call home I don't even want to visit. But that's where God put them. Now I can see from looking at the men in this room that we've been blessed by God with good looking men. Can I even get an amen out of that? But we have to take that humbly, because not all men are as good looking as we are. And there are differences in the way people look. There are rich people and there are poor people. And the fact that a person is saved doesn't erase that. The world kind of thinks that you give $1 billion to every single person on the earth. In a month, there'll be poor people and there'll be rich people. It won't take any time at all. Natural abilities differ from one another. So, you know, some people have certain abilities that they do with their bodies. They have certain strength. They have certain flexibility. We're all different that way. God makes that. Lifespans are different. Some people live to be 100 and over 100. Some people don't even get out of their, you know, toddler years. They greatly vary. Some are healthier than others. I can eat hot dogs and have a good cholesterol reading the next day. I've done it several times. In the church, the body is different. We have different functions in the body of Christ. We have legs and arms and all that. We cover different places of service in one body. We're different. Now let's face it, some people are smart and some people aren't. There's difference in intelligence. I can tell from our kids here that we have smart kids. But, you know, there are kids that aren't as smart as our kids. Just the way the intellectual capacity is not as great. Now, the world is not content with what God makes different. This is, again, why we have problems. The world is not content with what God has done. The 10th commandment is about coveting. Exodus 20:17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That is, you're not to be discontent. You're not to be striving for what is not the will of God for you. You're not to covet that. Covetousness is a strong desire for what belongs to someone else. It means you're not happy with what you have from the Lord. And it's secondarily an aspect of doubting God's providential choices for you. You doubt God has done the right thing. You know what people are doing today? They've doubted God that He made them a male or a female. They doubt that. They disbelieve God. They think it was a mistake. They're going to correct it. Or their sexuality. Or whatever. That's the beginning of many foolish and harmful choices. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, talks about those who want to get rich. Those who want to get rich, Paul says, fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now, wanting to be rich is coveting. It's against the 10th commandment. It's a desire for something the Lord has not chosen for you. It's someone else's. So, that, it says, if you do that, those who do that, look at the result. They fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Men want to be considered today as being able to bear children. Now, would that fit in that verse? That if you covet something not in the will of God for you, you fall into a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. That's coveting. We're not happy with the way God made us. Rather than being happy, rather than being content, rather than being getting our identity and our satisfaction in the Lord, we choose to change in ways we can. And Paul says something interesting in 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 20 says, each man must remain in that condition in which he was called when he was saved. Were you called while a slave? Don't worry about it. For if you're able to become free, rather do that. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men, brethren. Each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. See, a person is saved, they're a slave. So I shouldn't be a slave anymore. I'm saved. I should be a master. I'm poor. I should be rich. Paul said, no, don't get in that discontent thing. Don't start down that road. Because although if you can be free as a slave, do that. But the point is, you're fine the way you are, and that's where God's put you, and you stay there until he gets you out. And there's some things you can't change. And, you know, gender is one of them. We have, from God, things we've been made to do. And we've got to be stable on that. You notice when sprinters sprint, before they sprint, they put their feet in those blocks and they push off of those things. You want to upset a runner? Loosen those things up. First push, they're down. See, that's what the world is, loosening up all of the things that God has given us to enable us to be what we're supposed to be. And then we fall down. God makes distinctions in roles and rank. Husbands are the head of their wives, of their family. Ephesians 5:23. This is why God's not on Twitter. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word. That's, God hasn't annulled that. Men are assigned leadership in the church, not women. How do I know that? Well, Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:12, I do not allow a woman to teach or usurp authority over man, but remain quiet, for it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve, and it was Adam, not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. The women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Men in the church, men are the leaders. These are just basic things which used to be everybody was happy about. God makes a family, husband, wife, children. It's a nurturing place. It's not a place to, you know, do social experimentation. You know, men have traditionally been the ones who would go out and work, and women would be in the home, and there's nothing wrong with that. The economy's changed radically because we've departed from that, but you know, the basic great thing was, you know, that we were very home-based in those times. Some are masters, some are servants. And God got the male and female thing right the first time. It used to be a simple thing. Somebody came to me. In fact, somebody mentioned one time, not from the church. Somebody mentioned, you know, that they had a relative who was confused about their gender. I suggested a biology book. I won't go into all the things I said about that. But it's pretty simple. Today it's like, well, you know, you can do something about that. You can change. And we got weightlifters who are men who are lifting as women. And the world just says, well. The Lord expects a loving authority. People have roles, but it's not abusive. It's not terrible. It doesn't mean you're worthless if you're a slave. It doesn't mean you're mighty if you're a master. Husbands, in fact, we're told in 1 Peter 3:7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker. What? You can't say that about a woman. She's weaker. Since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. God said, don't even pray if you treat your wife in an unkind way. She's the weaker vessel. She's like a little a precious flower in your hands. This is the way the Lord speaks. This is not abusive. The opposite is. So the tragic truth is that men are not satisfied with God and God's perfect design. And that's where inequality starts. And that's where the true equality with God is being perverted. We're like the dog that dropped the bone looking at the reflection in the water from the bridge, thinking the bone in the water was a better bone. And we lose it all. So you see, that's why our society has no peace. It's full of unrest and chaos, and truth has now been replaced with lies. And the answer is right in front of us. And what do we need? Congress to pass a law on equality for the 18 millionth time. No, what we need to do, and we all as God's people would say amen to this, is we need to follow the standard of the Word of God and be at peace and have true biblical equality. Let's pray. Or it's an intimidation that the world would place us in to want to change into something we're not. And it'd be great, Lord, in our day if we'd see people just say no. We're not going to follow that. We're not going to go down that road. We're not going to let that trigger us. We're not going to let that defeat us. We're going to hold firm in truth. But so many, Lord, are not even trying, it seems. But Lord, we are to stand firm and be strong. And I pray your people would, and I pray, Lord, that we would have that effect on others. We thank you for your wise design of us and the equality we truly have in you. In Jesus' name.